Look at all you happy people. It's good to be here with you in the house of the Lord. And it's going to be a great time together. I think I mentioned it earlier, but hopefully some of you might have trickled in. Hopefully you'll stay with us after the service. We're having a Thanksgiving dinner that you're welcome to join us in. And it's going to be a wonderful time together. So please plan to do that. So as we get to our Thanksgiving dinner, it was interesting how the timing worked out because I don't really plan, other than Christmas time usually or Easter, I don't usually plan a themed sermon, but this one kind of fit with Thanksgiving a little bit because we're going to talk about Martha and Mary and their service from Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. And this is just where we were in the sequence of things, but a lot of you will be serving people today even, and during the week, as many of you host Thanksgiving dinners and such. So this will be a good reminder to us to make sure that while we want to do well in serving, we want to do even better in knowing the Lord. So the big idea is don't let your service to the Lord keep you from His Word. Don't let your service to the Lord keep you from His Word. So I'll read this together as we look at it. Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38, says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to Him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" So let's pray that the Lord will help us to gather from this passage what He expects us to. Lord, thank You for Your word this morning. I pray as we look at this short account that we would learn something more about You and about ourselves. Help us each, Lord, as individuals to respond to this message appropriately in changes we may need to make in our own thinking or attitudes, but also help us, Lord, as a body of believers, to be obedient to Your scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's talk a little bit about who is Martha. Well, Martha is a sister, first of all. We see her name mentioned a few times in scripture. This is an account that is well known to people who grew up in the church. The Martha and Mary contrast they'll go through. But the other most familiar account probably you would have is when her brother Lazarus died. So she's the sister to Lazarus, and she's a sister to Mary. She may have had other brothers and sisters, but those are the only ones that Scripture mentions, so we'll stick with those. And Martha seems to have been the head of this household, and so we don't have an exact reason for that, but she may have been a widow. She may have been married, and her husband died, and she received the house. It could be that for some other reason she had become kind of the head of a household, but we don't know the exact details, but it's very clear she's kind of the one that seems to be the head of that household. Another thing about Martha was she was the type, you might know someone like this. You knew where you stood with Martha. Years ago, I did a funeral for a lady who had passed away. I didn't know her very well, but I was a little bit saddened because the only thing that they could say about her that seemed to be somewhat positive is that you knew where you stood with her. And, well, that might be a good thing in some cases, but sometimes not so much. It also makes me think of the character Marilla, if you've ever read or watched the Anne of Green Gables series, and if you haven't, you should. It's a great little story about her redheaded. So, but there's Rachel. Rachel is the character in there. She likes to brag that I always speak my mind, but sometimes that's not a virtue if you do it harshly, especially. But Martha was one, I don't think she was harsh, but she was blunt. She was straightforward. She's the one that said when Jesus came, when her brother Lazarus had died in John chapter 11, verse 21, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died." This is not only a strong statement, it may be a little bit of an accusation. You should have been here. Of course, we know the story. Jesus did raise her brother Lazarus from the dead. But Martha had eyes to see who Jesus was. I have a quote here that says, "Peter confessed, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God,' in Matthew 16, 16. Martha confessed, right before Jesus raised her brother from the dead, 'You are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world.'" So very similar to what Peter gets a lot of credit for saying, less people talk about Martha saying a very similar thing. But how did Martha come to this? She had chosen the one thing. She sat with Mary at Jesus' feet. She was an avid hearer of the word, and the church was built on the granite of such confession. We should never, ever disdain Martha. So as we look at this passage together, very often if you've heard this taught, you may have heard it taught where it kind of puts Martha down really heavily. And we want to be careful we don't go further than Jesus did in what he said to her. She wasn't this horrible person, or she wasn't some substandard Christian or something like that. But another thing about Martha is she must have been a pretty good hostess, because Jesus seemed to have enjoyed staying at her home. So they were friends. They were hospitable to Jesus. And probably by extension, they had hosted some of his other followers as well. It's not an unreasonable thing to think. So let's not be too hard on Martha. She was a believer. She loved Jesus. When we observe this moment where she's corrected by Jesus, let us not go too far and say more than the Bible says. She was indeed a devout servant of Christ. Yet there's a lesson here for his followers. We need to be careful that our service to the Lord does not interfere with our relationship with him. We can indeed become so busy with the activities of our ministries or of our other lives, work, that we neglect our relationship with him. And this is a danger, by the way, not only for people who are in full-time ministry. It's certainly a danger for people like myself, but it's also a danger for all who love the church and love to serve. Our verse tells us that Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. And now, having the great teacher there, she sets about to prepare. Some people are more gifted at hospitality than others. You may have noticed this. Some people, though, are really, really good at it. They know how to have company over. They love the preparations. They love being kind and welcoming. They love making the food or whatever. Yet, when everyone else is not pitching in to help out, the one working hard can easily be frustrated or even become bitter. And so in verse 39, then, we see this sister of hers that's not doing quite the same thing, right? Her sister, Mary, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us explicitly that Martha was the older sister of Mary, but we may infer that from her leadership role, both in this story and the account of Lazarus' death, where she was the first one to go and approach Jesus. So we can make a fair assumption that Martha was the older sister. At least she's certainly acting like the older sister. And she's got her younger sister there who is not doing what she is. She's not busy preparing things and cleaning things and whatever else is going on. She just wants to sit with Jesus. She just wants to sit at his feet, learning from him. And you may know someone like Martha who just always wants to be up and about, moving around. And it made me think a little bit of my father and mother-in-law, who have both passed away, Karen and Jim, who were the most wonderful people, just beautiful Christian couple, Janelle's parents. You may not be aware of that. Her dad passed away well before we had kids, and her mom passed away just after Gabby was born. But And I wish my girls could have known them. They were so sweet. But Jim loved fellowship. He loved to sit, whether it was me or whether there was other company in the house, just talking and enjoying each other's company. And Karen would be up, and she'd be moving around. She was, we said, like a hummingbird almost. She would be checking to make sure the coffee was full and everybody was being served and everybody was happy. And if there were crumbs, she would grab a broom or something. If she sat down for a second, she'd immediately think of something else she needed to check on and get up again. And sometimes for the rest of us, that so you can't relax because that person's so busy, right? And she also had brain tumors. We don't know if that affected how she was unable to relax, sort of. But she was such a sweet lady. She was so concerned about making sure she was taking care of everyone. Jim, on the other hand, he wasn't as eager to do the chores as much, but he liked to sit and enjoy the company. So many of us can relate to that. We may have people in our families like that as well, where there's just some personality stuff that are different there. And we want to be careful that we're not condemning either side of that, because if their heart is in the right place, we want to know that they're doing the right thing. So there's Martha doing the busy work. Mary just wants to sit and listen to the teachings of Jesus. And he was a guest in their home. So for Mary, this is a limited time opportunity to have him right there, hearing from him firsthand. And this shows Mary's love for Jesus. It shows her love for his word. And she was affectionately learning from the Master. So she cares deeply to know him better. And one of the marks of a follower of Christ is a desire to know him better through his word. It's concerning when someone says, I follow Christ, I believe in him, but I don't really need to come to church, or I don't really need a Bible study, or I don't need to really do a daily reading. So I have a verse on a little note card once a day, or I just, you know, hear something on the radio on the way to work, so I don't really need all that other stuff. I think a mark of a follower of Christ is that they eagerly want to know him better. And maybe there's times where throughout your life that fluctuates a little bit, but the desire should return. You should be able to, and if you don't have that desire to know Christ better, ask him for that desire. He'll give it to you. But she really wants that. She wants to learn from him. And so she sits at his feet. Something that teaches us as well is that Jesus did not object to teaching a woman. And this would have been different from the rabbis of that day, who would only have taught to the boys. And in many cases, the women weren't even allowed to learn anything about the Torah or the teachings. And so Jesus is breaking a mold there as well. He's allowing Mary to sit there and learn. But while Mary's doing that, Martha's getting frustrated, perhaps even bitter, so much so that she rebukes not Mary, but the guest of honor. Verse 40, Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." So she's blunt. Some might even say rude, because she's drawing her guest into a domestic dispute with her sister. Has that ever happened to you? You're over visiting some people, and maybe the two spouses get in a little argument, and they'll say, "Hey, help me out here. Don't you think like I think?" Never happened to any of you? That's good. But that's an awkward position to be in, isn't it? When you're friends with both, or maybe it's not spouses, maybe it's sisters and brothers or whatever it is, and you're trying to be friends with all of them, and one of them says, "Hey, take my side in this argument or this dispute." It's very awkward. And so Jesus is kind of rebuked in a sense here by Martha. "Tell my sister to get up and help me." But Jesus, in a very gentle way, corrects Martha, and in verse 41 and 42, it says, The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her." Now, in the Jewish context of saying someone's name twice like this, we see this in the Old Testament, Moses, Moses, Abraham, Abraham. There's many cases in Scripture where the name is said twice. It's an affectionate way of getting someone's attention in the Jewish tradition. So it's a very calming way. It's the way he said this to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worrying about the wrong things." So he's speaking to her in a very affectionate way. We know this from the grammar that's used in this passage by Luke. And I didn't know this till I started studying for this sermon, but there's other interpretations of this passage in as far as its meaning goes, that some have said, well, what really is being said here is she was trying to prepare a meal with lots of different dishes, and he's telling her only one thing is needed. If that were the case, then it wouldn't be about sitting and learning and communing versus being busy. Instead, it would be about complexity versus simplicity. But that would miss the real point. The real point is, what is the most important thing? And I don't agree with that take where some have said, well, she was trying to make five different dishes and he's saying, hey, just one will do. I don't think that's what Jesus was getting at there. And I don't think what the passage is saying is that. But there are some that believe that that's what's being said here. But Mary is sitting there realizing, and she knows that whatever Jesus says has great significance, and it's worth sitting and listening to. She knows that he has the words that will bring her eternal life. And this is very similar, again, to another thing that Peter said in John 6, 68 and 69. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." So we have this very similar thing said by Peter and Mary, who doesn't say it, but she lives it. Where am I going to go? He has the words of eternal life. And Martha, who at the grave of her brother said, "You are the Holy One of God." Peter gets a lot of credit for saying those things, less so for Mary and Martha realizing them. This shows, though, how much they realized the importance of Jesus' teaching. They were very much in tune to that. Now, quite a few years ago, I got to spend almost a year in Japan when I was in the Marine Corps, and I learned something there that was they have a lot of little things about their culture that are interesting. I found them interesting anyway. And one is that when you go to a store and you buy something, they're very, very careful in how they wrap it. And if you go to YouTube and you type in Japanese wrapping, you can see what I'm talking about. They take such care that the package you receive is beautiful and well done, and they use high quality paper or cardboard if it's in a box, and it's the presentation of the gift is almost as important, if not more so in almost some senses, than the gift itself. And I remember I was with some other Marines, and we were out in the town, and we saw a pastry shop, and they had just like up here, except far less sugar, but they had the pastries in like they have in the little case with the glass on it. And we went in there, and we couldn't really talk, but we just pointed to what we wanted, and then they would take and put this in a little box, and I'm like, I just want the pastry, I don't really care how it's wrapped, I'm going to eat it in 5 seconds, So they do this, and that's part of their culture. They do some beautiful wrapping with their gifts, and when they give gifts, it's maybe even more so than we would. We try to wrap our stuff nice, but they would put a lot of us to shame in how well they do it. But the point of it is this: what is more important to us Is it the activity of serving Christ or Christ himself? Are we more concerned with all the packaging around it or the gift itself? And so we're in this season of service and reflection. We have Thanksgiving this week, immediately followed by Advent this year, as I believe Thanksgiving comes almost as late as it can in the month of November. So we're right into the Advent season without a break between them, which is fine with me, by the way. But we want to do service at this time. We're more inspired to do things for others during the Christmas season and the Thanksgiving season. And it should also be a time of reflection where we're thinking about why we're doing these things. Why are we thanking God this week? And why are we going to celebrate his birth, the birth of Christ, in the coming month? And even today, as we both eat and celebrate together, we serve, and we're going to serve as we decorate the church even together. Yet, let us remember that our relationships are more important than the service work we're going to do. Relationships with each other, to be sure, but also our relationship with Christ. Now, as we go to this passage again, we have good lessons we can take. There's lessons we should not take from this as well. So here's some lessons you should not take from this passage. First of all, do not say we should not serve. Okay, there might be a lazy person among us that says, well, I'm just trying to be Mary here. I just want to sit at the feet of Jesus. You guys can go and do your busy work. That quickly will lead to pride, right? Because I'm the one who cares more about this than others. So don't take it to the extreme where you say, I'm not going to serve, because service is part of our life as believers. We need to serve the Lord. We need to serve each other. And sometimes those services that we do for the Lord are physical in nature, and it may be hospitality like Martha did. So don't go to that level either. So that's one lesson. Don't say you shouldn't serve because you're more concerned with the learning. Another lesson, and I mentioned this earlier, do not say Martha is some kind of subpar believer. Remember, she was a true follower of Christ. Even true followers sometimes need to be reminded of the main thing. I mentioned my mother-in-law, Karen, a minute ago, and it was a little of a humorous thing because Janelle and I would talk about that, how she was a hummingbird. She'd flitter around. But don't you take for a moment that to mean she wasn't one of the most godly women that you've ever met, if you had met her. And a sweet lady and a true follower of Christ and a true servant to her family. So don't say Martha is some kind of a subpar believer, because she was very gently rebuked by Jesus. She was a true follower. She was loyal to Christ to the end. And then do not say that I need not help with the work because I'm busy reading my Bible. But on the flip side of that, if your work or activities are keeping you from time with the Lord, then adjustments to your schedule and your priorities may be called for. Remember last week, we were in just a few verses ahead of this, Luke 10:27. This is the guy who he asked Jesus what he had to do to earn eternal life, and Jesus said, "What do you understand?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." So, heart and soul. Well, Mary did this very well, didn't she? She loved God with all her heart and soul. She wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus. And Martha, I believe, also loved with all her heart and soul, even though in this one situation, at least, she had maybe misplaced her priorities. So we want to love God with our heart and soul. Then we want to love God with our strength. Now, Martha did this really well. She was really good at loving God with the strength he gave her and the abilities he gave her and her desire to bless others through her hosting was commendable. And then we're to love him with our mind. And Mary did this well. She's sitting there as an attentive student, But I think Martha also, in her complaint a little bit, wanted to love Jesus with her mind, because I think there was part of her probably that wanted to be sitting there also, but she felt like she couldn't because she had her hosting duties. And then neighbor as self, Martha excelled at this. She was a great hostess. I mean, if Jesus wants to come to your house, you must be doing something right. Now, as believers, we need to be working to be well-rounded in all of those areas, heart, soul, strength, and mind. So, maybe an uncomfortable question, but I want you to think about it. If Jesus were here, in he is here, but if he was here in a physical presence where you could observe him and speak with him, and we said something about our brother and or sister to Jesus, hey, Jesus, would you tell so-and-so that they need to improve in this area of their serving you? What might he reply? We're good at that, right? We're very good at seeing how we think everyone else should be serving. But how would Jesus reply to each of us? Would he tell us to choose the good portion? And finally, the good portion will not be taken away, Jesus said to her. God's word does not return void. The time that we spend in our desires to learn from him, when we go to D6, when we go to our Bible studies, when we teach our kids, when we do all of that, his word does not return void. The good portion will not be taken away. And David understood the importance of a good portion. I'm going to read from Psalm 16. And David said this, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lions have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You have known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." David and Mary shared this desire to receive the Lord himself as their portion. In fact, David's heart was so in tune when he wrote this psalm that it was actually a messianic prophecy about Jesus himself. David was in tune to that, and Mary was too, and I believe Martha was too, because her confession at her brother's grave that Jesus was the Christ is evidence to us that she did know him. And both David and Mary received the counsel of the Lord, and he made known to them the path of life, which brings joy and everlasting pleasures. So our charge this morning from this passage and from all of Scripture is know the Lord. We want to be those who are eager to learn more about him all the time. It's not an end, it's not a thing we reach the end of. We don't get to a doctorate degree in biblical theology that then we say, okay, I'm done now with my studying. But we want to keep knowing the Lord and know him better. And it's a lifelong pursuit that we should be actively involved in. Again, that doesn't mean we don't serve. It doesn't mean we don't do active things for the Lord. But we must be careful that we don't become so active that we forget to sit at the feet of Jesus. It's very easy to do, especially if you're a volunteer in a ministry. It's easy for a person that's paid to be in full-time ministry like myself, but almost maybe as much of a pitfall or more for those who are serving because they work a full-time job and then they're trying to do the hours after or teach a Sunday school class or whatever else they're doing, and they can get their life so busy that they're never sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's part of the reason why we want more of D6 volunteers, by the way, to teach, because we rotate teachers on and off so that they can do that. They can sit in the learning side and not just always be teaching. That's always been a concern for me. I've met people over the years that in the church, they always want to be the Sunday school teacher, but they don't ever want to be in a Sunday school class to learn. It's a dangerous attitude to have. It can be pride or it can be something else going on, but we want to make sure that we're both teachers and learners about when it comes to knowing Jesus better. So that's the charge to us. So we have, I'm finishing a little early, I think, here, but we have our dinner together. We're going to have a great time. I encourage you to enjoy each other's fellowship. Enjoy the serving when we serve the food, but also we start decorating the church building and making it look wonderful for the holidays. Enjoy that service. But don't forget that Jesus wants you to be in a close relationship with him. That's the better portion. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word this morning and your guidance to us. Lord, I thank you for this being in the scripture for us. That Jesus, in this gentle way, you told Martha, it's okay to take the moments just to be in relationship and learning. Lord, I pray that we would learn. Some of us here may have more tendencies towards Martha. If that's anyone here, Lord, I pray that they would have an ability to dismiss their own drivenness, which often is the case, where they drive themselves to do more and more for you. I pray, Lord, if someone needs to be broken free of that, that you would help them to break free, that they could take time to just sit and bask in your presence. And Lord, if there's people that are a little too merry, too far and just wanting to learn but never do, I pray that you gently rebuke them as well, that they may serve you well, both in their relation with you and in their service to you. It's all about balance, Lord. We want to serve you well, and we want to balance our lives well, and we're constantly fighting this battle to balance it. Lord, some are so busy between work activities, school activities, hobbies, and all of these other things, even driving from place to place. Lord, our world is flying by busy all the time. I pray that you would help us each to be able to sit at your feet, that we may find a quiet spot with you regularly, that we may study your word for our food. Help us to do it, Lord. Give us the strength by your Holy Spirit. Give us the discernment and wisdom by your Holy Spirit, Lord, to live this life you've called us to. And now, Lord, I pray a blessing on our time together, this as we continue our worship through our celebrating the community of Christ together, and bless the food, Lord, to our bodies to strengthen us for that service. And I pray a blessing.